There we go. There we go. Recording. Hey, professional.
Wah, wah, wah.
It's the Untitled Car Show. I'm Mike. That's Ryan. Depending on where you're looking. So I got a few people worried that I fired you, Ryan. So I gotta clarify.
Who was worried?
People on the Twitters. It was Ian. Ian was worried.
It was Ian. Oh, okay. Yeah. I've been fired. No, it's weird. I'm just chilling and I'm thinking to myself, yeah, we really should do more podcasts. Mm-hmm. And then I refresh my podcast feed and it's like, oh, I had one in the can. Oh, okay, that's fine. Refresh it like a week later. Oh, there's another one. Oh, good. Yay. Oh, okay. Apparently I'm out. All right. That's fine.
No, it's not that. So the we talked about, this is podcast about podcasting, which is inside baseball stuff, which I did want to talk about a bit, but I didn't put it in the notes.
Oh, you want to talk about baseball?
I think baseball. Are my White Sox doing good? I think they're doing good.
I think they're doing all right. Yeah. They actually the A's beat them in the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. The A's have the hardest opening schedule though, and they're currently 3-7 to open the season. So no good when the bats don't show up.
Yeah. So yeah, that's base. I understood that, and I'm sure like 60% of our viewing audience probably gets that. So
here's the deal. You really have to start looking at the OPS of all of the, you know, batters that are there. And you've got, you know, quite high ERAs, but the WAR also a little on the low side. So when you only have three wins and your WAR, you know, it's not working out well. Lots of people on the IL.
IL, that like an eye on red line? IRL.
No.
I'm very confused. None of it makes sense to me. So the
what's your ultimate zone rating, Ike?
My ultimate my T zone, I think, is my ultimate zone, but it's oily, so you got to be careful about that. So no, it's just here's how this works. We got two people doing this, which means that if we can do a podcast interview, interesting people, we're gonna do it. I've been trying to get more people lining it up so we can get again, inside baseball stuff. Did a particular podcast reach out to you that had to do with racing?
No.
By any chance?
No. They must not like me that much. That's okay, because I just did 8 hours of broadcasting today, and now I'm doing this. So I think I'm going to be good on the podcast front for another week or so.
Yeah.
If they hit me up, I will get something scheduled for sure. Yeah. I think I might even be able to bring them my erstwhile boss. I think that's actually a group. We're a group of people that they'd probably love to have on their show. I would imagine, at least. I don't want to toot my own horn too much, but like we're the first word in endurance racing broadcasting, at the club level at least. So yeah. You know,
yeah, tell, so
I don't know. I figured we'd been invited on already, but I guess not. That's
we've been invited. So that's the thing. It's we've been invited,
which right?
It's weird that they haven't reached out to you, but the royal we that you're talking about of you doing the podcasting before, it's weird. Because you just did 8 hours with, and I already, this is how bad my goldfish brain is. I already forgot. It's the...
So I just did 8 hours of broadcasting for the second day of World Racing League's Mid-Ohio event. That was today. It's currently the 11th here. Kind of an interesting race. They ended up having some rain about halfway through, a little bit more than halfway through, with about three-ish hours to go. The clouds kind of opened up, and it's a DOT tire series, so I think you have to have 200 treadwear tires to run in the, that's kind of your equalizer there. And I think we had a big divergence at the top of people who picked a 200 treadwear tire and people who picked like a 280 treadwear tire. And that really, I think, made the difference for a lot of classes, just in tire selection. You could tell there was people who were like running all right in the dry and they were doing what they needed to do to kind of keep their noses clean, but they didn't have the ultimate pace, that were just on fire when the rain started. And then the car that was just murdering everybody all of a sudden was trundling around like 30 seconds off the pace.
Yeah.
So yeah, actually pretty exciting stuff there. And they're going to be at Road America next month. And I'll be going to that one in person some pit reporting.
Ooh, that's gonna be fun.
Yep. So I've been doing the pit reporting with these guys for, since like 2012, 2013. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to getting back out there, getting into the pit lane, doing a little bit of the travel now that we're kind of on the downside of the COVID thing. We're kind of in the home stretch, if you will, as far as, you know, getting vaccinated, all those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really fascinating because, again, I have a goldfish brain. We go through this. I'm really focused on this year with everything picking back up, trying to get into watching and listening to racing. So I'm going to be listening next month. It's May 7th is when it's going to be going down.
Yep.
So
May 7th is going to be the test day, and then the 8th and 9th. You got an 8-hour race on the 8th and an 8-hour race on the 9th.
So if you want to hear more of Ryan's wonderful radio slash podcasting voice, that's the time to tune. So I guess we just go to the World Racing League to get in.
Yeah, World Racing League's Facebook page has it up, and then you can search World Racing League on YouTube as well. I think we're going to try to get on to Twitter as well. Since the Racing Spaces thing, I've noticed that gets shared around pretty quickly, and it's a little bit more viral there, whereas I don't think anybody uses Facebook earnestly. So I'm really pushing to try to get the broadcast onto Twitter as well. But we'll see if we're able to make that change by then. We've got a lot of other balls in the air as far as trying to work out corner cameras. You know, our whole thing is trying to do a endurance racing broadcast on like a 100th of the budget. Or maybe not 100th, a 10th of the budget of what like a professional IMSA race would use. So we're doing, you know, corner cameras that are static. So we got to get all those set up. I got to get my pit reporting gear set up. We got to make sure we have everything networked. And then we have to harass the entrants to send us links to their in-car cameras so that we can produce a whole feed. Yeah. One thing we did end up having an issue with this past weekend was the cars that sent us onboard cameras, which because we weren't there, that's what we were showing on the feed.
Right.
They slowly deteriorated the cars over time. And we were down to, we started with like six or seven. Yeah. And by the end of the race today, we were down to one camera to watch a single onboard of a BMW 1 Series, the Thunder Bunny racing car.
Yeah. I hope they were at least somewhat close to the front of the pack. Otherwise, that would have been.
They ended up third in class in the third fastest class, which was a reasonable place to be. But that one's kind of nice because he's catching people, but then people are going by him. So occasionally, if we're talking about a battle for the lead, the leaders will go by and it's like, there they go. That's them.
That works. That's good enough. Yeah. A little taste of everything. Yeah. I was going to say, because all the, I've tried to coordinate technical stuff between multiple people in the past, and it always ends up almost always a disaster. So I can only imagine trying to do that with people racing around. So
I believe it's this car. This is a competitor series photo, but it is this car. It's the 2010 128i. This was the car in question. I love the World Racing League. That's the other one that, you know, I'm not currently paid to talk about at this point, so we try not to talk about them, but they have really good really good SEO apparently. So anyway, this is another one of their cars. They have an E92. This is an M3 with the V8. So they're one of the regular entrants, and they've got this really cool 350Z as well. Anyway, they're one of the good entrants, and I really enjoy covering racing. It's a good time, and I think you can get into it pretty cheaply. It's not quite Lemons cheap because the standard of racing is a little bit higher.
Right.
But you do still have a fair number of good entrants around. And I think it's just a really good sweet spot for, you're not paying an IMSA budget, but you're getting people showing up in GT4 cars and TCR cars and like professionally built cars, but then they're able to be made, you know, similar in pace to this 128i, for example, which was a road car that's been modified. So really, really cool series. I'm a big fan, and they keep me on because, and this is something that I think I've talked about before, I've noticed that there's racing people.
Yeah.
And then there's car people.
Right.
And there's very little divergence on that front, which I think is really too bad. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of see my existence in this world as somebody who tries to pull both of those a little bit closer together, you know?
Well, it's good that we're talking about that, because it's one of those things where this year, I think as we get into it, I feel that need to do the same thing, because there's so much good racing out there, and everything's open back up, and everything's going to need people to get out and support. Like, yes, it's great to go out and race and do the racing, but it's also like you need spectators in the stand, or you need people listening for these series to survive. So,
right.
I mean, even like in places like NASCAR, where like might not be the, you know, most thrilling race to everyone, you know, they need spectators to survive. Isn't it the biggest spectator sport on the planet, basically?
Certainly not anymore.
Yeah, well, no, not anymore.
Like they're hating it right now.
Yeah.
And even 2 years ago, they were hating it. It's not just a COVID-specific situation.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, there's been a lot of cultural shift in the realm, I'd imagine.
And I think it's for the better. I at some point we should talk about that. Maybe if we have Bozy on at some point, we can talk about that with him because he's kind of more plugged into the NASCAR thing. I think the direction NASCAR is going is good, and they are starting to see dividends from that.
Yeah. Yeah. Remind me about that when we get off about Bozy. So, so there's a lot of good stuff out there. And kind of one of the things I want to circle back to is like, so as much as the, like, I'm going to call them the Team Clearcoat guys because it pisses them off, but the Apex Adjacent guys, they do their fantasy Formula One league every year. And I've been doing that for a few years now. And it's basically just been for like shits and giggles, even though somehow I won twice.
That probably makes them more angry than anything, is your just complete lack of giving a shit and still owning everybody.
Right. Well, I had no idea what I was doing, and it just was a matter of like, so Hamilton does good. Okay. And then this guy, and then set it and forget it kind of thing.
Right.
But by just like process of like being around the Formula One stuff is like, I think I picked up that like this year, the Red Bull cars are like somehow faster than the Mercedes cars, which is fascinating to me.
Yeah. How into the weeds do you want to get on this? Cause I can give a brief technical explainer if you would like.
Right. So that's what I was hoping you knew something about it. So give me,
explain
it to me. Like I don't know shit.
Okay. So last year and for the last seven or so years or something like that, a long time, basically the entirety of this rule set, cause they change F1 rules on what the car is supposed to look like and do every 3 to 5, 7-ish years. They'll change the engines 1 year and then they'll change the chassis a couple of years after that. So you always have these weird hybrid, not hybrid in terms of electric and all that stuff, but like you have a car that's got the old style engine with the new body or the new body with the old style engine.
Right.
They were supposed to be on a new style body this year and they kind of pushed that off for another year until next year because of all the COVID-19 happening.
Yeah.
The trouble is Mercedes have built a really, really good car and they were competing primarily with Ferrari for a long time.
Yeah.
And Ferrari was, and because I'm not accredited F1 media, I can say cheating. Ferrari were cheating. But of course you're not allowed to say that if you're in the F1 paddock because, they were never found to be cheating. An agreement was made. Mercedes pushed all of their people super, super hard to try to catch up to the Ferrari that just somehow had 5 to 7% more horsepower in a field where all the cars are supposed to be pretty even.
Right.
So they pushed and then realized that Ferrari was cheating. Mm-hmm. Now they have a world beater engine in their car and their chassis has always been pretty darn good. It's not perfect, but it's like pretty good. And they have the best driver of this generation in the car in Lewis Hamilton. And they have an erstwhile number two in Valtteri Bottas, who's not ever picking at Lewis Hamilton and trying to make him feel uncomfortable, is a good number two Formula One driver. Mm-hmm. So they've got a pretty good team. I've noticed that in the past, Mercedes, when it comes down to making a strategy call as far as, hey, maybe we should come in early or whatever, if there's ever a strategy call in play, Mercedes fucks it up every single time. If they're not just head over heels a bajillion times faster than everybody else, or if Lewis Hamilton's not pulling the car by its neck to the front of the field, if there's ever like a weird yellow flag we needed to pit, and they'll make the wrong call every single time.
Right. Yeah.
So that's the stage we've set this year, because
reasons.
The reason given was that they wanted to tie up some of the loopholes in the regulation.
Yeah.
What the actual reason was is Mercedes is too fast and this is getting too boring.
Mm-hmm.
They've made changes to how many aerodynamic-y bits you can have on the floor of the car, which would be here. I'm just going to kind of illustrate this here, kind of in this area right here. It looks really plain and normal. There used to be lots of little like flaps and holes and things like that that would help the aerodynamics of the car, help the car be stuck more to the ground, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Mercedes's car sits really, really flat to the ground. They try to suck all that downforce and they get the car as low as possible, and then it works great. Because they're no longer allowed to use all the flaps and holes and thingies that help that, they've lost a bunch of rear grip. So now you're having to compromise your setup to keep speed, but now in order to keep the same speed, your car's really touchy. So you instead have to turn down the front downforce and get more mechanical grip, and it's just a compromise. Meanwhile, the Red Bull Formula One car doesn't use, this is called a low rake design, is what they call it. And that means the car, relatively speaking, is pretty flat. Whereas the Red Bull 2021 F1 car is a high rake car, and Red Bull has always made a high rake car. And what that means, and it's kind of hard to tell in some of these, this one you can kind of see it, the nose of the Red Bull is lower than the tail of the Red Bull by like a significant margin.
Yeah. Okay.
And so what they're doing is they're actually able to use the floor of the car instead of sealing here. Actually, this is a really good right down here. You can kind of see down here how, oh, that's awful. You can see down here on this picture how angled the car is as far as the back is up. Just you can see how much light there is at the back of the car versus the front of the car.
Okay. Yeah.
Instead of trying to use the floor to seal the underbody of the car to the ground, which there's still some effect of that, they're actually using the floor of the car as a wing. And so you can kind of use that here too. You can kind of just barely see how much forward rake there is on that car. So that's called a high rake car.
Gotcha.
Now, because they're not so worried about sealing the back end of the floor to the ground, because that's not what their design ethos is, them not being able to use flaps and holes and thingies doesn't really affect them. I mean, they've had a marginal decrease, but like not really, because that's not what their car is built on. Whereas the Mercedes really, really needed all of that stuff on the back end of the car that's been taken away. So in testing, Mercedes didn't do so hot. I always think that testing is kind of whatever. Nobody really cares. Nobody's really showing their hand yet. But Red Bull looked a lot faster. And then in qualifying and practice before the race, Red Bull looked a lot faster. And at the end of the day, Mercedes ended up winning the race anyway, behind some, frankly, really good driving by Lewis Hamilton. You know, there was some question as to how the track limits rules works, and I'm not going to go into that here, but if you know how to read and you've actually read the rules were followed all the way around. You could absolutely exceed the track limits on the corner that they were speaking about. If you watch the race, you know what I'm talking about. You could absolutely do that as many times as you wanted. That's in the rules. It was in the supplemental regulations. That was it. But you can't use that to pass. And so by the time Max Verstappen got around Lewis Hamilton, he used the outside of the track to make the pass, which is not allowed, and then gave the position back. Unfortunately, by that point, he had already worn his tires off.
Yeah.
And Lewis Hamilton's just a generational talent and ended up coming home in first. So it was an outstanding end of the race. And if you watch the whole thing all the way through, there was a lot of stuff happening. It wouldn't have been nearly as close if Valtteri Bottas hadn't had a messed up pit stop happen. This was actually a pretty entertaining race, especially when I think the Drive to Survive Netflix series is actually really starting to take off now. People are really starting to get into that. So it was good to have F1's first race back for 2021 be a big deal and be a pretty entertaining race.
Right. So
does that answer that for
you? No, that does a spectacular job. I feel like I learned a thing and I didn't. That is perfect explanation. It brings me to that point of racing I like, though, which is you get a good car with a great driver versus a great car with a good driver, and you see what wins. And I find that a lot more fascinating. Mm-hmm. It's all supposed to be a formula series, obviously, but there's going to be slight differences because of all the money that's involved in it.
Right.
And I'm very much looking forward to watching a few races coming up this year. Some of them are just crazy times where I can't sit down and watch them, but
they usually end up being right in the morning. So the Asian and like Middle Eastern races usually end up being in the morning at like 8 or 9 a.m. on Sundays. And then occasionally the European races will end up happening a little bit later in the day, around the time that football is usually on or something like that. So
It's very much looking forward to it this year. And I'm hoping it stays competitive, even if Hamilton wins all the races, which Lord knows he's, you know, probably one of the best drivers of all time. You know, it's hard to argue that fact, just looking at the amount of trophies he's got going on with him.
Right.
But I'm looking forward to it this year of getting into that. And so with you being on and me kind of being in this racing kick thing too, the other thing I want to ask you is, besides, you know, the World Racing League, like what else are we supposed, what should I try and get myself into this year in terms of racing, in terms of like spectating?
You should really try to watch IndyCar, I think. And the reason I say that is it's pretty competitive racing for the most part. Mm-hmm. And it's on times that are reasonable for the U.S. market.
Okay.
And they're not a bajillion hours long, and they're 2 or 3 hours long. I would love to tell you to sit down and watch every single IMSA race, but I am fully aware that nobody has time for that. Nobody has time to watch big 12 and 24 hour races. Now, fortunately, the long races have already happened, but the IMSA, it's a pain in the ass to find on TV. Most of the time you have to have the NBC subscription to watch. That's all this. Well, it's really good racing, but you have to find it. You've got to find it out there. So I usually have the IMSA stuff on in the background. And you really don't have to be paying a whole bunch of attention, at least this year, to all the technical side of it. It's, you know, pick your brand and then watch what class they're in and see how well they do. The Lexus car that, again, Bozy is the mechanic on, they continue to run into bad luck after bad luck. And especially the last couple Sebring events they've had, it's like, yep, they're running 1-2. They're doing really good. And, oh, the Corvette spilled a bunch of oil all over the track. And they both slide into the barrier next to each other.
Just
stuff like that. They can't catch a break. So like I watch Lexus because I'm like, yeah, I like that. And then in the prototype class, I watch Mazda because they're still the little team that could. They're pulling out at the end of this year, which I think is unfortunate, but that's a really fun team to watch. So you've got that going on. And then at the longer races, you're getting Jimmy Johnson is retired from NASCAR. And then him and Chad Knaus came over and they're now running the number 48 Cadillac in the prototype class. And they're pretty competitive with it too. He's also going to be an IndyCar this year. So the IndyCar field is going to be stacked with some rookies who are all pretty good, accomplished racers from elsewhere. But that's kind of, I don't know. If you can watch IMSA, do it, but really you should pay attention to IndyCar this year.
Yeah, IMSA is one of those things where I always try to get into it, and it is one of those, it's the subscription or just trying to find it or watch all the races. It's just such a, like, time sucks, not the right word for it, but it's like sitting down and watching a 12-hour race is just... Now, that being said, I do try to... I don't know if it's part of IMSA, the 24 Hours of Le Mans. Is that IMSA racing, technically?
24
that...
Hours of Le Mans is ACO racing. It's the World Endurance Championship, which is like IMSA racing, but for the whole world, whereas IMSA is just a North American thing.
Right.
It's very similar. It's similar cars somewhat, and... Yeah. The drivers usually go back and forth between the two. IMSA is one of the biggest regional or national series in the world as far as endurance racing, especially. The European Le Mans series isn't that big of a deal. The Asian Le Mans series, not that big of a deal. But IMSA is a pretty big deal because they've got some heavy hitter events built in.
Like 12 hours of Sebring in there. And then...
24 hours of Daytona. You've got the Petit Le Mans down at Road Atlanta.
Yeah.
Outside the Chateau Alain, if you will. Big deal. 24 Hours of Law also, you know, it's a big event, but those you can't, it's tough to sit down and just watch. So whenever those are on, I usually set aside a day where it's like, okay, I'm going to be at home today.
Yeah.
And I'm going to build IKEA furniture and clean the living room and make dinner while the 24 hour is on. The last time I actually got to sit down and watch a large portion of it was the day of my wedding. When I woke up at my house where everybody was getting ready and I went into the living room and I turned on the race and people started to complain. And I said, I don't fucking care. It's my wedding. We're going to watch this.
Exactly. Like, oh my God. Weddings. Great. Like, well, you should be like racing.
No, like, I'm going to watch this racing. That's what we're doing. We can have breakfast and I'm going to watch the race. That's what's happening.
Yeah. No, I agree. Cause the last, I try and make it a point of watching. It's one of those things that like sneaks up on me every year. Even though it's always the same dates every year.
It won't be the same dates this year. It'll happen in like August or September or something like that.
Oh, really?
They delayed it because of the COVID thing. They're having some issues still in France. So they've delayed that a little bit.
Well, good for that. Better safe than sorry and all that. But
that'll
be interesting with the sun coming up at a different time too.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot darker. Usually Le Mans, you only get like 8 or 9 hours of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So you spend most of the time in the light. It's going to be a little bit darker this year. And I'm looking forward to that because that's a track that's in the middle of like the countryside. There's like a third of it that's actually purpose-built racetrack. And then the rest of it's just road.
Right.
So there's not lights everywhere. I think it's really cool.
I love it. And I always try and sit down and at least absorb about 12 hours of it. Not like directly watching it, but always like it's on in the background.
Right.
And then I have the same conversation with the wife every year, which is, what is this and why is it on? And it's racing, it's historic, and it's awesome.
Yes. And
I don't think it ever quite sucks her into it because she always forgets what's going on every year, but it's fun. It's not something to fall asleep to, though. I will say that. So.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, record. Like, that doesn't really work out. So, no, that's That's festive because I don't know why, but I am just in a big, like, I want to get out. I want to take the Fiero if I can get it working, or take the Fiesta if I can't get the Fiero working. I'm going to be doing autocrossing this year. I want to go out and do a rallycross event this year. Mm-hmm. I want to just get out and do racing. I want to get into it this year. I want to not necessarily go wheel to wheel, but I want to, like, jump into that subculture of cars that I never really, like, fully immersed myself into. So this would be fun. And on that I have to ask. So I have the Fiero, I have the Fiesta. We talked briefly on this a bit, like, when we were talking topics before this. Mm-hmm. My little house has a paved pathway that goes all the way around.
Okay.
And when you have a circular pathway that goes around the thing, I feel like that's like a racetrack.
Yes.
So do I get a go-kart specifically just to race around my house?
I don't think is it paved, you said, or no?
It is paved. It's paved. Like, it's like a concrete sidewalk kind of. It's like about as thick as a sidewalk.
I wouldn't get an expensive one. I wouldn't get like a go-kart. I'd get like one of those you can go to like Tractor Supply Company and they have the Coleman like side-by-side off-roadery buggy looking thing mm-hmm. for like $1,000. I'd get that. And then you get a little bit of, if you have a go-kart and you run wide for whatever reason because you're pushing it too hard because you're going too fast because it's a real go-kart and you run wide, you're going to break shit or hurt yourself. Whereas if you have a little bit more travel, if you've got kind of a fakey roll cage around you, it gives you the impression of safety and your wife will be much more likely to let you take your daughter in it or something.
That's a good point. That'd be fun.
And then she's probably getting to where my daughter comes close to, like, there's no power steering on it, so I'd be worried about her being able to hold on to it and if it snaps sideways, her like hurting her wrists or something. But I'm getting there or thereabouts where it's like, you know, we could probably start doing some of this cool stuff here. And she's about to turn 6 in October.
Yeah. A little one is she turned 6 in January, and it's fun because, you know, she's got some special needs, but she likes to drive the pickup truck off road, which is fun. Mm. She can't quite reach the pedals yet, but just slam that thing into second gear and just like go around in the wilderness and just make circles. So she enjoys that. So that's fun. And honking the horn and waking up the whole neighborhood.
Of course. You have to do it.
Well, obviously, you know, that's how that works. So the first, if she ever becomes a car reviewer, her first thing is going to be straight to the fucking horn. And like, this is a good horn. So she doesn't like the RV's horn. Not a fan. I don't know why.
I don't blame her. You know what bugs me about horns, and I got chastised for this in the Right Foot Down chat once. Horns that are not actually hooked up as a physical button on the steering wheel.
Yes.
Like, usually it's the steering wheel is a trigger that goes through a computer that then turns on a horn. Can't stand it. If I hit the button, I want it to turn on.
Correct. Yeah.
And I was told that you use the horn too much if that's the case. And I said, well, yeah, probably.
What I'm learning is we have people in the Right Foot Down chat who don't understand the purpose of it. Most of us are from DC. The horn is like necessary communication. Like, oh my God.
Where I worked before, if you were going around a blind corner, you were supposed to hit the horn. And like, I'm moving cars all day long. Like, I'm hitting the horn easily 5 or 7 times a day, doing nothing. And then as I tell my wife out on the road, why'd you honk? I said, it doesn't cost anything. It's already installed. It's free.
Yeah. True. 100%. I don't get it. It's like, especially at like lights that I know going, you know, into DC, out of DC, there are lights where not everyone gets up and is awake and accelerates, you could be sitting at this thing for like 4 or 5 cycles.
Right.
So as soon as the light turns green, I'm honking and people are like, why are you honking?
Why are you honking? They're like, no, we need to move.
Everyone's here. Everyone needs to get off their phone and be awake. Like, well, you might piss someone off. Like, or like 8 people just dropped their cell phones and started accelerating. Like,
the thing I've been doing recently is, and of course, allegedly, because I'm not sure how legal this is or isn't. If I look over and see somebody who has their phone in their hand, I lean on the horn until they look up and then stop using the horn. And then when they look back down, I use the horn again. And of course, how safe is that for me watching the other driver be on their phone? Probably not super safe, but more than 5 people have like very clearly gotten the message and then put the phone down.
Right.
So I'm like, okay. But you can see the first 2 or 3 times it happens, they're like, why does that keep happening? Yeah. And they look over and see me like off your fucking phone.
Right. Oh, I love it. It's gotten real bad. Have you noticed out where you're at? So this is a complete tangent. Have you,
yeah.
Is traffic's worse than it was pre-COVID out here?
I wasn't here pre-COVID. Oh, I was here mid-COVID. So it's getting close. It's pretty bad right now on my way into work. But I work the 1-to-8 shift. So I'm like off cycle on traffic.
Right.
But it's getting worse than it was before, certainly. And then, of course, they started all the road construction again, too. So it's just a mess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the Midwest in the springtime, which is road construction season. The flowers are booming and the potholes are getting filled. It's
not very well.
No, not definitely not. But there's a lot more people who got very used to being on the roads all by themselves, and they're just engrossed in cell phones while driving.
Oh, absolutely.
I have noticed that, and it has become a problem around here. Like, there's a lot of windy roads around here. And like, I've almost seen like 4 or 5 people just totally eat shit, like going off like a cliff. Like, well, that'll be fun. Like, right. Oh, drop the fucking cell phone. Like, cause it gets, and then the distance between and you're going over the cliff here is about like 6 inches. So so that was fun. I'm not complaining about the roads, cause I found like 5 or 6 phenomenal driving roads. Like,
what's that like? I miss driving roads.
Yeah, I know. That's the one thing about the Midwest. That, like, the Midwest and Florida, you know, for all their great, like, rules when it comes to car ownership, is, like, terrible in terms of, like, actually fun places to drive cars.
Yeah, so, I'd agree with that for sure. Yeah. I went and we'll do another tangent. I finally got to go and drive an M235i. The dealership down the street for me actually ended up getting one in that was in the right price range for me. I went to go drive it, and it was just completely numb. And I thought to myself, well, I wonder what it feels like on a twisty road. Okay, let's go find one. there's not one. You know, I'm used to having a really awesome, like, cliffy lake road, like 2 minutes from my house, where it's like, oh, I've got the car, we're just gonna go do it real quick. And just to not have that here was like a super bummer. Really disappointed by that car too, the M235i. Really not the car that I was hoping it would be. It just doesn't, it's fast, I'm sure it handles great, you just don't feel anything, you're not a part of it, you know. It's, they got the turbos, so it's a little bit more quiet. It's obviously set up to be something that you could daily drive, so it's a little bit more on the comfortable side. I understand that.
Show the people a picture of the car while we talk about
it. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I forgot we have that capability.
Yeah.
M235i.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a great car. And on paper, just it's the Gran Turismo nasty one. Oh, no, those are terrible. Don't buy one of those.
Yeah.
Stop showing the four-door. What is up with this country? There we go. It's this one down here, the white one.
Yeah.
These are the, no. There we go. This one. Mm-hmm. Yes, there we go. They're a really good car. Of course, these pictures display in super low res, even though it's 4691 by 2570. There we go. Okay. I'm like, why is this so nasty? Mm-hmm. Good looking car, I think. It's about the size of an E36.
Yeah.
Which is like the kind of early mid-90s BMW. So they've gotten so big now that the smallest BMW is the same size as the mid-size one 20, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I actually got stuck behind, there is a proper M version of this besides just the M235.
Right? Yeah, there is an M2, yes.
Yeah, so I got stuck behind, not stuck is not the right word. I was going through one of my little windy bits with my daughter the other day, and a guy in a M2 pulled out in front of me, which I was quite surprised by. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. And my car attracts attention. So we're going through the winding bits, and I think he was getting irritated that he could not lose me. So we got up, because if, like you were saying, though, I don't think it handles very well, because I was keeping up in my little Fiesta, not trying very hard, and he was losing corner speed around every corner. We got to a straightaway and he just took off, and I was like, bye, I'm not going to even try.
Or he sucks. Every journalist I've spoken with,
right,
the M2 handles pretty darn good.
Okay.
That might be a driver mod issue there.
Could be. It was fascinating though, because I was like, they're good looking cars. It was particularly that blue too.
Oh, okay. That's the launch color. Cool blue.
The other one. The one. This one? Yeah. That one. It was that color. I was like, that is a very good looking color on that car.
Yeah, so, that does look good. Especially with this green background and the gray. That's just super vibrant. I'm sure they turned the saturation up on this, but
yeah,
it looks really good.
No, that's a very good looking car. It was one of the few times because I'm smitten with my Fiesta. I plan on keeping it forever. But every now and again, like, you get that wandering eye thing. And I'm like, ooh, an M2. Could I live with an M2? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I now... one with that wing on it, I could definitely do.
So this, I kind of wanted to tie back to the endurance racing thing. Yeah. BMW made these, it's called the M235IR, mm-hmm. and then they made the M240IR,
yeah,
which is the same thing, just with the same motor that's in the Supra.
Right.
That's the little bit newer one. Mm-hmm. These are really what kind of put the M235 on my radar. BMW sold these as like a club sport car that's supposed mm-hmm. to be for like endurance racing and track days and stuff like that. It's the regular M235 or M240, and they take the DCT out and they put the automatic from an X5 in it.
Okay.
So that the transmission's super beefy. So you yeah. never have a problem with that.
Yeah.
And then you've got they've more radiators and oil coolers and stuff like that on that engine. So the engine's very reliable, and these click off laps like nobody's business. And so me being exposed to the, you know, racing stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. This looks like a good car. And when you go to look at the inside of these, that's pretty darn stock for it. Oh, come on.
Oh.
I hate that. Why can't we just do full screen? Come on. Yeah, no. Anyway, if you can see in here, that's a pretty stock looking car.
Right.
For the thing. And so people would have them up on the lift or whatever, changing tires, that kind of thing. And I was like, wow, that people thrash these. These get beat up
mm-hmm.
on the road courses. Here's maybe a little bit better picture. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
And they're great cars. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what led me into looking for one of these M235s. And I'm guessing the Grace car drives great, but the regular one I drove, just not too fun. But yeah. You can buy this body kit that's on the M235 and the M240 and put it, and it's all direct bolt up to a road car.
Oh, wow.
So it'll end up costing like 10 or 15 grand mm-hmm. if you want to have it all done by right. somebody. But you can add this wing. Everything's a factory part. So I thought these looked super sick. I figured, yeah, you can pick these up for under 20 now if you get like a 2015
mm-hmm.
With a little bit higher miles. And yeah. they're a really reliable car. If you get, they make this an all-wheel drive as well, which was one of the cars I discussed getting a while back,
right?
Which was going to be super convenient. So anyway, yeah, those are a good car. I think that's an awesome Fiesta replacement. If you were going to replace the Fiesta, I think this would capture the spirit in terms of the same size, but you know, a little bit faster, if right. you will. But mm-hmm. it doesn't feel as good to drive as a Fiesta. But I bet it daily is better.
Right. That was kind of the thing, is I was sitting in there with the like, again, these cars that like capture my imagination with the Fiesta replacements, which I don't ever think I'm gonna properly replace the Fiesta.
Right. But
I see them and I go, well, that's practical. It's a BMW. It's, you know, going through these roads. It looked good in that color. It looked like nothing else. And like, I knew about the like racing stuff vaguely. I didn't know exactly how it worked out with them, but it's like, but I don't think you can get one of these with a manual transmission, can you?
You can. I drove one. The one I drove was a manual transmission, the M235i. There's not very many.
Right.
That's why I went to go look at this one, because it was one of very few. Mm-hmm. But you can get a manual transmission with these as well. And the DCT is pretty good too.
Right.
But so, it just, my key disappointment was I drove a 228i, which is the four-cylinder turbo one. That's like just the regular least special, if you will, that everybody buys, right? I drove that around.
Special. Yep.
And it was a nice car. I drove, because I was looking at between that and then the new Mazda 3, and I was like, oh, okay. I remember getting out of that 2 Series and being like, I'll find buying a fucking Mazda 3. This is sweet. This is a good car. I like this. The M235i felt exactly like that car, just everything in the windshield went by a little bit faster.
Okay.
So that was kind of an unfortunate type of deal. But again, if you're looking for a daily driver, that's probably a little bit closer to where you want to be. These M2s are stupid money.
Oh, yeah.
Like completely stupid money that they're charging for these. Like if you want the CS, it's like a $80,000, $90,000 car. Right. At that point, you're in Cayman territory.
Yeah. Yeah. Which that's also was on the list of was a Cayman. I was like, mid-engine.
Used Cayman, not too bad. Not too bad.
Not too bad. Although they call it something different now. It's like the Porsche
718 Cayman. 718, so it's just the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting though. The, but since we're here, we talked a bit about, I'm assuming what you're going to go look at a car You were saying you have a vehicle you may or may not purchase?
Yeah, it's a vehicle I think I am going to purchase. So my childhood best friend, who I obviously I grew up with him, you know, we crashed a Impreza STI together that had like 600 horsepower or whatever. We did that together. We went and did hooligan off-road stuff in Tacomas together. You know, we did all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. He has a 2010 Mustang, which is the worst year to get. And I'll show you why. And if you know, you already know. But this, you look at it and go, oh, that's the 5.0 body style. Ha, ha, ha. Nah, this is the only year that still had the old engine. Right. So you could get this, or you could get the one with a 3.7, which was basically the same amount of power with like 5 or 10 horsepower. Yeah. So he has a 2010 and he bought it, you know, several years ago because it was on the cheaper side. Mm-hmm. And it had lower miles when he purchased it. It was in nice shape. Owned by a nurse who didn't drive it very much.
Right.
So he purchased it and put like a whole airbag system on it so he could raise and lower it. He did a GT500 front brakes. Mm-hmm. He did a little bit different taillights. I think these taillights look disgusting, and so did he. So he changed the taillights a little bit. That big GT logo thing is actually built into the panel on the trunk. So if you take the badge off, there's like a painted piece under there. He RTR makes a replacement panel there where you cut the circle thing out and then put this plastic plate over it that makes it sort of waterproof and nice. Yeah. So you don't have the big ugly thing on the black and then it's all black.
Yeah.
And so he's, you know, thinking about switching jobs, not sure how long it's going to take him. And the car's got like 110,000 miles on it, something like that. Mm-hmm. He's had a bunch of work done to it. I know who's owned it for the last 4 or 5 years. Right. And so I figured I asked him and he's going to give me a pretty good price on it. And in return, I'm going to send him the money and then he'll have a little bit more flexibility for stuff he needs to do. Mm-hmm. Just put a bunch of money into his 6-liter Ford pickup because that's what they need to do. Right. So it'll help him pay off some of that, kind of recoup his savings account there. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to have a Mustang. And I really settled on this. You get a back seat still.
Right.
I didn't want the responsibility of owning a 5.0. Does that make sense? That's a lot of, and like you owned the Challenger and I understand that, but you had your fast car.
Yeah.
Was that pre-child?
That was pre-child. Yeah.
Pre-child. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So see, that's where a 400 and whatever horsepower car, I'm going to get tickets in that. And I've already gotten two since I've been here. So I really can't get another one. Like it can't possibly happen. And I'm going to screw ass around with the car if it's got that much horsepower, because that's the meme would indicate, oh, it's really easy to slide them, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I live here where it's like, oh, gee, straight roads. We can make this more interesting, I'm sure.
Yeah.
As I'm allegedly linking drifts in the snow in my X5. So it's, you know, I don't think I want the responsibility of having that much motor, that much temptation. Whereas I've put several miles on my buddy's Mustang. We went, when we went to the LA Auto Show 1 year, I took him with me and we drove this car down there. Yeah. So it's a car that I've been around a lot. I've driven it a lot. It really is the right amount of power as far as it, his has got a little bit of stuff done to it in a tune. So we're at like 320, 330 horsepower, all the torque's available super early. So it feels pretty quick as you're driving it around. You get the noise. He's got some short tube headers on there, a nice cat back exhaust. So it'll give the feeling that that BMW was missing. So he's going to take the airbags off of it for me because I didn't want to mess with that at all.
Yeah.
Totally fine with him. And he was like, yep, that's totally cool. And then we have another friend who has like a 2013 that wants the airbags. So we're going to shuffle the airbags over to him. I'm going to get a road and track suspension package from Maximum Motorsports, which comes highly recommended by people who know what they're talking about. As far as it's going to have relocation brackets for the rear control arms, and you got a Panhard bar to kind of settle down the axle situation. Mm-hmm. You got a K-member strut on the front that's a little bit stiffer, that kind of cradles the engine a little bit better, has everything a little bit tighter pickup point. So when he takes the airbags off, he's going to put all that stuff on there, and then I'm going to have him do the big issue with these 4.6s as the cam phasers.
Yes.
So I'm going to order the Ford Racing cam phaser set and all the, and the timing chains and all the, and the tensioners and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So he's going to do all of that for me in California. And then when he's done, he's going to tow the car out here for me.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I'll have this car and it'll be ready to go. I won't have ever driven it in the state that he's going to deliver it to me in, but I'm assuming it's going to be okay. And it'll be a track ready car that I can still comfortably drive around. You know, if I want to drive it to work a couple days a week, I can do that too.
Well, how far are you from the closest place you could track the car and the closest place you could So track, autocross, and drag strip.
So the track and drag strip are in the same location. It's at Brainerd, which is one of the bigger NHRA stops.
Okay.
And then Trans Am goes there as well, for the road course. So that's about an hour or so from my house. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, the autocross is in the Twin Cities. You go the other direction, is about an hour and 15 because it's in the southern part of the cities and I am northwest of the cities.
Yeah.
So okay. The autocross is a little bit further. And I don't, in my Miata, sign me up. I'm all in on autocross. In this Mustang, I don't think that's going to be a good time. I think that's going to burn through rear tire really quickly and I still won't be that fast.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think I'll probably stick to the track, and then I've got Road America 5 or 6 hours to the east that I think I'll try to get out there at least once with the car before I move, if I move, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, so my brother is a crazy person, as am I, and he's had an 05 Mustang basically like since they came out. Like, he got it brand new.
Okay.
And he's daily driven it. I think it's got like more than 100 and some thousand miles on it, obviously. So, the thing is used and abused, but it's got the same basic motor.
Yep. And transmission, probably.
Yeah. And they're nice cars. They're nice motors. You know, obviously they have their issues with them, and he's driven it in Chicago. So it's been, I'm sure it's got rust galore underneath it.
Right.
But I always thought that the car would do better. Like, so you can't compete with the 5.0 when it comes to like the straight up power performance kind of thing. Right. And you can't really do the, like, if you wanted to take it to the track, like the EcoBoost, because it's almost the same power, would in theory be better. So like the torque that this thing has low down is kind of where it's at. So I always thought it might do fairly good at like something like a short track race or a, you know, something with like a lot of sweeping curves where you're like relatively like low down in your RPMs.
The problem with the sweeping curves is you've got the rear suspension setup that's awful.
True. Yeah.
So it's not a perfect car for any of that. Again, I think the changes I'm going to make are going to be transformative to the car. It's quite an expensive set of kit. Yeah. And then it leaves you the option of, you can get way more expensive shocks if you want. Mm-hmm. Most of what I'm going to do is to correct the geometry and that kind of stuff for it being lower. Mm-hmm. Because we all know that engineers, when they design cars, they have compromises that they need to make. It needs to get decent mileage and drive on the road great and still feel fun. Right. The changes I'm going to make are going to dial it a little bit away from the drag strip type setup and a little bit away from the comfortable type setup to kind of lean into the little track ability the car does have. Mm-hmm. These are semi-common in club racing. So you've got the American Iron Series that I think NASA does. Miller Motorsports Park out in Utah. This used to be the car they used for their classes. So there was a whole driving school out there where they used these. I think Skip Barber actually owns those cars now. So they use these for driving schools. The aftermarket's really unmatched for cars. And again, a lot of it's just kind of chotch.
Right.
For, you know, boomers and stuff like that. but there's a fair amount of racing parts out there too. And they do decent in endurance racing as well, because they are pretty reliable. Yeah. You start to run up against the transmission being not very beefy. Right. Really quickly as you start to add power. So, you know, that's one of the reasons they can keep the car cheaper, is they don't have a real Trimic T56 in all of them. You have to get a, like a Boss 302 or a Shelby or a Mach 1, any of those, to get the good transmission. So it's going to keep me from adding power to it. Whereas if I had an M235i, I would immediately be on the phone. Let's get an intercooler. Let's get a tune. Let's get a turbo. Let's see how fast we can make it. And like, again, I don't need to be doing that.
Right.
Like, that's not a thing I need to do. So I think this car is going to keep me in my lane. It's enough of a step up from the Miata I had. And I think it's going to be comparable in terms of performance to the 3 Series that I was looking at. Might not handle as well, but it's got a little bit more power. And then lastly, it is the driving experience. The car drives awesome. It feels really good to drive. It's the experience and the occasion that I'm really looking for, since I have almost entirely straight roads here.
Right. Yeah. No, that's important. Remember, you can accelerate first gear into second gear, but where second gear gives out, that's 60. So
right, exactly. But you don't even need to. You don't even need to be revving it all the way out to have fun. You can rev it out to 3 or 4 grand, and it sounds great, and you're moving at a decent clip, and you can go all the way through fourth before you're, you know, in trouble.
The thing I think that's most important about these realistically, though, is they're such a this year kind of more so than a couple of the other years is it's more of the like airs of like car enthusiasm without having like all of like the beef to back it up. So they're very loud, even in stock. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they got all like kind of the old school muscle car interior going on. So it's like, it's almost like a caricature of a muscle car. And I think what's going to be most important for you is this is a car where you can put your little one in it.
Yes, and exactly.
It kind of like, if there's a ounce of that in her, it's just going to bring it out.
Right. So I'd agree with that. And she already loves, she looks at Hot Wheels when we go to the store and we've got mm-hmm. Hot Wheels track and stuff. So I think we're well on our way there. And I agree with you that this is going to be a good car. Here's a nice picture of the mm-hmm. interior. Mine is going to have the optional sort of screen here. So it looks a little bit less dated.
Yeah.
And of course I'm going to have the black interior as opposed to this red. I've never seen this red before ever.
No one ever got that red interior.
There we go. This is what mine's going to look like. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Without the Shelby bit there.
Right, yeah. That'd be nice. I say that would be nice. I don't want a 700 horsepower Mustang. No. I really don't want that. It's weird that once you arrive in life where you can start to, and again, you had a Challenger for a while. You got there a little mm-hmm. bit before I did because you're a little bit older. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm somewhere where it's like, okay, yeah, I can spend a little bit of money on a car that might be like really fun or exciting. I'm not looking for best horsepower per dollar. Right. I'm really, really not. Mm-hmm. I never thought I would tell myself that, but it's like, yeah, I don't need to be buying an Audi S4 and seeing how mm-hmm. fast I can blow the motor out.
The craziest thing about me buying the Challenger is this is back like at the very beginning of when I kind of started getting into cars. And I was like, I just want a muscle car and I don't want a Mustang and I don't want a Camaro. Mm-hmm. I don't even think the Camaro was out then, but it was like, I just want something a little different. What's that? A Challenger? That's an option. Why don't I just go get that?
Right.
And then that's what kind of, then I had the first one, I got the second one and then had to get rid of it. And then all the stories that are associated with it.
Yep. But
I do, again, like, you know, is yours still riding around? Cause we did the, like, we finally discovered like, hey, we can put our daughter in a booster seat. So instead of having her in like the car seat thing.
Yeah. Just out of an abundance of safety, going to continue. We have the car seat that goes up to like 80 pounds or right. something. So until it be, and like she's lanky. Mm-hmm. So until she's taller than the booster seat or than the car seat or mm-hmm. legs aren't fitting because it's taken up this much space in the back seat yeah. type of deal,
yeah.
we're probably going to stick with this as long as we can.
Yeah.
They're going to get old and tattered and worn out at some point, but she's lanky, but she's very slight. Mm-hmm. So I don't want her to be
gotcha.
In a rough situation. When I went back to California for my mother's very small socially distanced wedding, mm-hmm. I rented so here's a complaint. I'm going to levy this complaint real quick. I know you have a whole rundown of stuff. I'm going to talk about this real quick and then we can move on.
We're good. I think we're not going to get to everything today.
Okay. That's totally fine. For a while. So, Sixt, right? You're familiar with the rental car company Sixt.
Vaguely, yes.
Vaguely. Okay, so it used to be their whole thing was like, oh, we don't do or similar. We've got six cars, and you know when you get there, it's going to be this car, okay, and we give a premium experience, and everything's great.
Yeah.
And the cars aren't necessarily better. It's just like, oh, okay, I know that I'm getting a decent car.
Right, yeah.
So the first time I flew home, I spent a little bit of money, and that was when I got that V90.
Yeah.
Six doesn't do guaranteed cars anymore. They do or similar now. And I spent a little bit more money because of the or similar situation. I got there and realized, oh no, they do have Camrys. And so their car they put in the or similar box,
mm-hmm.
they said usually people get what's in the box. They said that's not perfect 100% of the time. They said 99% of the time you get what it says on the box. I'm like, okay, yeah. that's fine. And mine said V90 or similar, I believe.
Yeah.
So I got there and they had V60s, V90s. I'm like, what's the sedan one? C90 or S90. Okay, S90, they had an S90, yeah. the V60, Camrys, RAV4s, and then like a selection of like Mercedes GLEs and
right
shit like that I didn't want. I flew in this last time to go to my mother's wedding, and Sixt wasn't open when I arrived at like 9:30 p.m.
Yeah.
Or they weren't going to be open. So I'm like, okay, fine, fuck it. I'll use budget or whatever.
Right.
So I ended up paying more money, and I ended up with this Explorer that was, it felt like You know, did you ever use those really old racing wheels?
Yeah.
That didn't have force feedback.
Yeah.
Or just kind of did. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
So it's like rainy, and then you're on all the twisty freeways in San Francisco, and it's like, oh, I don't know what the front end's doing. I think I need to turn it this much. I don't know. Like, we'll see what happens. Otherwise, a pretty nice car. The car seat they had available at Sixt was one of those, like we talked about a long time ago, those Britax with the metal frame, like beefy, huge car seats. I'm like, sweet, kick ass. And it had been like dry cleaned or whatever because of the COVID thing. You go to Budget, and the lady at the counter is like, okay, go downstairs. Here's your key. And then the car seats are in the bin.
Yep.
I'm like, what bin? What are you talking? What do you mean bin? And it's in one of those like outdoor, this is where I store my large yard tools. Yeah. Lawn and yard tools in bins. And I open that up and they don't have the right car seat for her. They had the chintziest freaking car seat for her. I was like, what the hell is this? This is dog shit. And I like, I almost threw a stink about it, but it's like 10 o'clock by that point. I'm like, right, no, I still have a 2-hour drive to do. I need to go. And she, my daughter was fine, of course, because brand new car is pretty safe. Right. I drive pretty safe with her in the car. I'm sure the car seat still meets a minimum standard. It's fine.
Yeah.
But just after that experience, I was like, wow, I don't feel good about this. I want her to continue to be in a stiffer car seat until she's a bit larger,
If you will. Mm-hmm. Now, the only reason we're thinking about it is just to give her some independence. But the thing, so here's my travel hack to everyone. So an airline, if you have a little person you're traveling with, they can't charge you money for gate checking a safety device for them. So you can bring a car seat with you and gate check it. So you walk down the jet bridge and you hand it to the guy at the end of the jet bridge, and they have to put it basically in like a little special cargo area. And when you come off the plane, you don't go to check baggage. You literally pull it off from the jet bridge.
Right.
So it doesn't get lost with the check baggage stuff, and they can't charge you for it. So same thing with like walkers and stuff. If you ever have to do that kind of thing for like, if it's a mobility aid or it's a safety aid, the airline can't charge you for it. So I don't know how many people know that. So
I would hope by this point people do, but you might have people who don't fly very often or what have you. But the downside of the car seats I have, they're really fucking heavy, and I'm going to carry them all over the all over the terminal. So I usually have the supplemental extra seat belt thing for my daughter when we're on the plane.
Yeah. No, my thing is the we have two car seats. One is nice, like one is the super nice one, and one is the one that goes in my car. And
of course,
because that's how it works. The and that it's well rated, but that's the one that goes traveling. Like, because I've had that experience, like, or I've seen the experience people have had going to like Budget and places like that years ago, and just seeing them like, here's your car seat, and it's like it's a booster seat for an infant, and it's like, yeah, that doesn't work,
right?
Like, so
I was baffled. I didn't know that was the standard, because I went with Sixt the first time. I thought that's how it worked. I was like, oh, it's cool, they have a Britax, cool one, sweet. I'm in.
Well, you also got a place that rented you a Volvo, so there's that.
That's true. That is true. And the guy looks across me at the counter, because apparently I wasn't fooling anybody with my metal credit card, and goes, we're going to place $1,000 hold on that card. Do you know that? Look, man, I'm here renting a Volvo. Yeah. Like, it's okay.
What else do you need from me? Yeah. God. Yeah. Oh, I love it. Oh. Never have I been judged more in my life than going to rental car places. And I don't know why. So it's always fun.
Like, they know, dude. They totally know, which is the exact opposite. Usually, like, do you have a metal credit card, Ike?
No, I don't.
Okay, so I got one because I wanted the cachet of having a metal credit card, because I thought, ooh, that'll be cool. It's metal. It's all black and metal. Oh, that's sick.
Yeah.
And it's just awkward, because then when you hand it to the person at like McDonald's or whatever, and you're sitting in your like 05 4Runner, and they like pick up the card, and they're like, oh wow, this is really heavy, this is really nice, and then they like look back up at you expecting that you'll have transformed into somebody who's much better looking and richer than you are. And it's like, how do you get one of these? This is really cool. And I'm like, so can I have my burger now? Thank you. It's a big mistake. I thought it would be cool, and it's just really embarrassing having to explain it every time. Wow, you must travel a lot. Yeah, not really.
Yeah. I do enjoy though the when you said when they look back up at you, it's one of those moments where I realized we have very different driving experiences, because I don't think I've looked down at a like fast food employee in like 10 years. My car is always below. Like, it's always like, can I have my thing? Thank you. Like, itty bitty cars I drive around. So, oh my God. That's why, like, I've had this talk with the wife about getting a JDM car. And it's like, well, the driver's seat will be on the wrong side. Well, you eat a lot of fast food. Won't that be annoying? I'm like,
no, that'll stop you from buying the fast food.
Well, yeah. Well, no, that's, I don't want to stop eating the fast food.
Oh, no. See, that's a life hack.
It's like, I already have like the biggest there's a couple places I can't go to because they built like there's a newer drive-through places, and the thing's so high up, like even in my Fiesta, like I'm like, can I get in? Like, I gotta like half open the door and like reach out to it. It's like, God, I can't imagine being in like an NA Miata just like chucking it up to people.
Nobody's gonna be able to imagine being an NA Miata because they're so expensive.
True, yes. How did that happen? That
I don't know. Yeah. Dude, the price of those, and it's the same thing with those BMWs I was looking at. Those E46s are stupid money now. If you want like a nice one. I'm like, what the? He's paying 10 grand for this base 3 series from 20 years ago. What are we doing?
I know. Well, you can still get a fucking Fiero for $200 if you look hard enough. So there's that.
I was exposed to Italian Fiero the other day. I had somebody on Twitter asking if they should buy a Fiat X19. That's an Italian Fiero. You should get one of those. I think that would be a great three-way battle, is buying a shitbox X19, Fiero, and MR2.
Yeah.
And just kind of see where they shake out.
Yeah. I actually desperately wanted an X19, but I could not find one. So
they're very hard to find.
They are.
And again, it's even money, whether it's somebody that's like, oh, I have this piece of shit Fiat. Does somebody want it? Versus like some 45-year-old man that's like, this is a one of 365 that was red with a manual transmission and a black interior. One of 365 in the entire country. Only 164,000 miles. Third engine. I know what I have. No lowballers. 27.5.
You're giving me PTSD, because one of the cars I almost bought was a Lancia Beta. Or if you're a Top Gear person, it's a Lancia Beta Coupe. There was someone down in like rural Virginia who had one, and he was like braggadocious about the car being featured on Top Gear. I'm like as seen on Top Gear, I'm like, dude, like they ripped this car.
As seen on them shitting on this car because it was garbage.
Like, yeah. Featured on Top Gear. It's like featured on Top Gear, the number one, like, you know, Jeremy Clarkson had all these wonderful things to say about it. Like, that was all jokes, and this car is not great. But because it's not great and those are jokes, I really want it. So can we make a deal? Like, no, I want like crazy money for it. I'm like,
I want this car for the meme, not because I actually like the car.
Right. I want an Italian car eventually. That's one of my goals. I need something Italian. It'll probably be like a Fiat 500.
No, let's get you a Ghibli, dude.
The animation studio from Japan? What are you talking about?
They're cheap, dude. Get a Ghibli. What are you talking about? Fiat 500. I bet you could get a Ghibli for cheaper than a Fiat 500 right now. Oh, we're going to auto trader this bad boy right now. I tell you what. What do you mean, Fiat 500? Please. We have a Maserati.
Maserati. Yeah. I want an Italian car that might have a chance of making it home.
They're new.
Yeah.
2019 Ghibli, 57 grand. These are a little bit more expensive than I would have thought. We're in the Twin Cities, though, where people have stupid value judgments on cars. Okay, that's the other thing. I was looking for Mustangs here, so I didn't have to hassle my buddy with it. Yeah. All of them have like 30,000 miles, and people want 25 grand.
Correct.
I'm like, no, this is a $7,000 car in California. What are you talking about?
Welcome to the Midwest. Like, I got a Mustang. I know what it's worth. So, like, oh my God.
Stupid. No. Yeah. Not spending 20 grand on freaking 06 Mustang. Are you kidding me?
Mm-mm.
Dude, 21 grand, 66,000 miles. It's an S Q4. Bam. It's got the drug dealer rims and everything. Maserati of Austin. Dude, what do we got on here? Oh, it's a service bill for $1,700. Yeah, no big deal. Spark plugs. Let's see, oil filter, gasket of some kind. That's okay, 352. That's for the filter gasket. That's fine. Brake fluid already? Yeah, no, you're fine, dude. Yeah.
So since we're here playing this stupid hypothetical, go. I don't want a Maserati.
Oh,
I,
look at that. Look at that interior. Look at that. You said you want an Italian car. It doesn't get more Italian than this, with American bits inside of it that aren't that comfortable, and a piece of shit car that isn't going to last more than 10,000 more miles.
Right. Like, I like
a Sirius XM.
I like where your head's at. But if I'm going to do something like sadistic, masochistic, whatever the hell this qualifies as, I'm not getting a Maserati. I moved out of the Maserati phase, I think, a couple of years ago.
Okay.
Like I almost instead of my second Challenger, bought a Maserati Quattroporte.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Which, ironically, may have been more reliable. Like, see how cheap, we'll do any distance, find me a Fiat, the 124 Abarth.
You can get one at Fiat of Minneapolis for like under 20 grand. It's brand new because it's been sitting there for 18 months.
Yeah. Fiat begins with F, not with B.
Hang on. Fiat 124 Spider. Right. So, there's going to be so many new ones available. Look at that. Look at that. 24 at Walser Toyota.
Yeah.
A little bit further distance here.
I want
the cheapest one of these is going to be such a pile. The person who buys a 124 is some like old man who thinks he looks really, really cool in it, and he actually is just an old man.
I want you to find the cheapest one. Yeah.
$7,000.
There we go.
That's got to be smoked. There's no way. There's no way this thing isn't destroyed. Yeah. Okay. That's okay. Yeah. That's an auction car. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. That's an insurance. Well, that's not bad.
No, that's not bad.
Fix that.
That's actually like, I would rather deal with that than deal with the pristine Maserati. Okay.
15.5, it looks like, is the cheap price for like a reasonable one.
Right. So when these things
that
drop,
looks ugly base.
Yeah.
No, I don't want your feedback.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even try. It's just a fucking Miata.
Yeah, it's just a Miata on the inside. One of these is kind of like on my like hit list too, of like possibly maybe replacing even the Fiero instead of the Fiesta. But I like those things.
That's not a real Italian car though. You gotta do it.
Yeah.
What's the cheapest Ferrari in the country?
Yeah.
We'll show your boy.
Yeah.
What's what? Cheapest Ferrari. Let's see it.
Yeah.
That's not
37.
Oh, yes, a Mondial. Oh, perfect. Oh, yeah, 26,000 mile Mondial. It's not even an eight. This one's an eight. Here we go. Arizona Specialty Motors probably got low miles, well serviced. That's what you need, Ike.
That is,
it looks like an X19.
I was gonna say that might be. The ugliest car. Because it's...
I don't think this is factory. I don't think that's actually supposed to be on there.
So, like...
I want to look like a 458. A dog. You're too far gone.
You know when, like...
An Inferina.
The... You know when, like, the nerdy kid goes to school and, like, he, like, gets like a bunch of like new clothes and he's trying real hard to like,
oh, look at that though.
Oh, that's hideous.
Oh, look at that. It's got the gated shifter. Oh,
yeah,
man.
That's
got
that's
back seats. Oh,
literally the
sick.
only good thing about this. Oh, this thing is gross.
So you don't want a Mondial is what you're saying.
Again, I'd rather have the wrecked Spider at this point.
F355 Spider. There you go. An actual Ferrari.
Oh, that's not 50
as
grand?
Seen in like what's it called, Fast and Furious or Gone in 60 Seconds or something. Some movie had this.
Fast and
Downtown
Furious
Auto Center of Oakland, dude. Yes, I've been here.
Go. Oh, there you go. Definitely like photoshopped into place.
Oh
right?
Yeah, look at that. Oh, lovely. This is your Italian car right here, Ike.
It is not bad. I don't like yellow, but you know, see. But here's the thing. Here's how fucked up in the head I am. Why? Yeah, I don't know.
Let's stop so we can talk, because I'm just going to keep going down the rabbit hole. And it's like, what the
That's why I like the Italian cars, though, because like I know it's my kinfolk.
The 348. You can get that too. Oh, 60 grand is quite a bit. Okay, we're going to go back to Google.
So I would rather have a Fiat 500 Abarth than that Ferrari. Like,
really?
Yes, because I'm damaged, right? Yes. Like, I would rather, because the insurance would be, but beyond that, like, just in terms of driving it around, I would rather have like a clapped out 500 Abarth. But I like weird little cars like that.
Like black, I can agree with you to some extent, right? Yeah. I mean, it is a fun car,
right?
Of the Jeremy Clarkson, I mean, this is good, but I like this. Fiat 500 is good, but I like spending all of my money on a shitbox Ferrari.
Right. Well, see, the thing is, this is probably less reliable somehow still.
So probably. We got one of these in on trade when I worked at the Toyota dealership.
Yeah.
It does the pop, pop, fizz, fizz, bang, bang.
Yes. No,
as you drive it around. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I almost got one of these instead of my Volvo C30.
That would have been a better choice.
Yeah.
That Volvo C30 is, how can we make this small car drive like an XC90?
Right. I love the C30, I got to admit. But the issue with this is, when I got rid of the second Challenger, I was given the opportunity to trade in for any car that like Chrysler was associated with like some extra discount on it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it was going to be, we'll get you out of your Challenger because you had so many issues with it, and we'll get you into another vehicle in the Mopar family, and we'll like make up the difference, and we'll give you like $5,000 towards the vehicle. I was like, oh, okay, I want a Fiat 500 Abarth. And they went, say what now? And I said, I want a Fiat 500 Abarth. And they went, well, that's not technically a Mopar. I said, who makes it?
Yes, it is. You're a liar.
I was like, who makes it? Fiat. And you are part of Fiat Chrysler. Yes. So that's Mopar. So it took him like 3 weeks to figure out like that was the case. And by the time they figured it out, the like three Fiats that were within like 500 miles of me, like the Abarths, because all the other ones were sold, or all the other ones were available, but all the Abarths were sold. So right. I couldn't get an Abarth. So I had to end up getting the C30. So, because it was like, well, I'd rather get the C30. It's cheaper. It is so cute. Like, I just want one of them. And it's on a panda platform, so I could say my car is like panda adjacent, which is awesome.
If you want a panda, you just get a Renegade.
True. Well, that's the lifted panda. I want squat panda.
If I search... Oh, it does. Look at that. We stray further from God every single day.
I need this in my life. No, that the one up there in the middle top row with the red, white, and the green on it.
Oh,
that one.
Like a rally art.
Yes.
Theme. Mopar offers the lowering kit.
Yeah.
Well, that's on Pinterest. There's no.
Oh, man.
Article by Eric Schlater. Schlatschler. Yes. More information. Please don't show me privacy stuff on here.
Yeah.
There we go.
Article
from Jalopnik. Okay.
There we go.
Let's see.
Old Jalopnik.
Womp. Oh, truck. Yeah, doesn't exist anymore. Sorry.
That's right.
Gone. But there's no way Mopar still offers that.
I need that. Did they ever? You can get the Renegade with a manual. I do know that.
No, there's no way you can do that. No way. Jeep Renegade and you all. There's no way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that. Oh my God!
Yes, with the smallest engine.
What?
Yes, you can only get it with the smallest.
That's the
engine.
Isn't that the Abarth engine?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dude, you could have a Jeep Renegade Abarth. Let's go. I'll upload the Burble Tune on that, please. Thank you very much.
Yes. Oh fuck yes, that'd be great.
Oh man.
I need
160 horsepower, 3,200 pounds. It's not that heavy.
No, they're not. Yeah.
Jeep Renegade lowered manual.
Yes.
It's wow.
and I would take it to the drag strip and lose every
and
race
lose every single time. It would be okay because it'd be fun.
Yep. Would probably be pretty good at bracket racing though. Like how long does it take? Eternity. Hey, you never went over. I know.
It won't be good with bracket racing because it'll heat soak in like two runs. And be like, ah, oh, fuck. Mm-hmm. Damn Fiat.
Heat soak. There's no heat in that thing.
It's a 1.4 turbo.
Yeah.
With a burble tune. You're pushing a box down a quarter mile three times. That shit ain't gonna last.
You set up an auxiliary radiator / cappuccino maker and call it a day.
Lovely. So who can we con into buying one of these? That's the real question.
No, what we need to do is we need to con some stupid network or someone with a bunch of money into being like, we're gonna let you guys compete with the Top Gear people. And what's your gimmick? We're gonna buy stupid cars and make them even stupider.
So we're like Anthony Bourdain,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But for people making really poor decisions on primetime television.
But
are you in or yeah. And it'll be like a build deadline show, but we'll just be building the dumbest, mm-hmm. Unironically building the dumbest cars.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So like dumbest how? Lowered manual Jeep Renegade.
Yep.
With
yep.
The Fiat 500 burble tune on it, drag racing.
Ike, we have to get this Ford Flex race car done tonight, or the client's going to sue us and we won't have a TV show anymore. So you have to do it, damn it. Bros can.
No. Fortunately, I have this finished one sitting outside the shop for just such an occasion. Oh, goodness.
Oh. Look at that. You can make that into a race car.
Oh, 100%. Oh, I'm all about it. Oh, I love it.
You know what I'm all about? And again, this will be for the meme and for the Top Gear nerds of the world, because I just embrace it at this point. When can we import a Renault Avantime?
Yes. It's kind of getting close. They might have come out in 20 or in 2000.
01 and 03. So we're getting there. We're about 4 years away. I need to buy one now and then pay someone to store it for me.
Yeah.
No. And then I can import it.
Look, well, you can buy it and import it into Canada now, stored in Canada. You're close enough that you could go visit it.
Okay, so what if Hear me out, guys. What if we did a Renault Cross Cabriolet, but made it not a convertible? Huh? Huh? Perfect. And it made it kind of look like a van? Yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah. Let's build that. Okay, cool. 1,000%. I want to be the guy driving around with one of these. And when it breaks down, I'll have no ability to get parts.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do these have three rows?
Yeah. I want to say there was like a... Was it a three row or was it three across on each side? It might just be a six-seater.
Oh, they already... Jalopnik wrote an article about it in 2019. I won't be able to jump the queue on that. Damn. December 14th of 2020. Damn it. Stop writing about this. I wanted to catch people from behind.
Yeah.
That's too bad. I still think I'm gonna actively seek this out and see if I can do it. Let's see. Three-door shooting brake. Well, it's a shooting brake to 8,000 units. I won't be able to find one. They'll be gone. 3-liter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Where's seats? Conception. Entry to the rear, two seats. Oh, okay. So there's only two rows. That's disappointing. Think of all the car parts you could put in that.
That'd be great.
Think about how cool you would be rolling up to the junkyard in that to get parts for your shitbox MR2.
Yep.
Oh man, I need to look into this.
Mm-hmm.
That's a potential time waster at work tomorrow. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Oh, 100%. I am down with that. I import all the vans because we never got the weird vans here, and we need them. And I'm playing with this, and it's probably fucking up the audio.
That's fine.
We need all the weird vans. That's
we do.
I'm gonna go to bed tonight dreaming of a Renault Avantime. That's what's going to happen. Did they make a fast version or was it just the one version?
No, that was the whole point of the Top Gear bit was can we make a fast one?
That's right.
And they did. I think it was pretty entertaining what they did do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I'll sign up for my Motor Trend trial right now and rewatch that episode. Yeah. Street Fire.
I'm just enjoying looking. You got your thing up so we can see your recent search history.
Yep.
So this
ads
is
as well. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just enjoy the, like, delete my search history. We have Renault Avatine for people listening. Renault Avatine, Winky, Ford Flex. Like, yeah, this is a search history that needs to be deleted. Like, delete the Avatine.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. You're on some watch list now, I'm sure.
Probably.
So, we did not cover half of the things we meant to cover, but I think we did a decent show here, Ryan.
You don't want to do a lightning round?
No.
No. Nope. All right.
Because if we use up all our topics, what are we going to talk about next time?
Ooh, when is your next time going to be?
Probably a week.
In the words of Eminem, next time, there will be no next time.
Because that'll be that time.
Yeah, or something. I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know. I don't listen to Candies. So.
Anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's from the Midwest too. Is Michigan Midwest? I'm gonna say no, just cause.
That's the North. Well, I think I'm in the North and not the Midwest. I don't know, dude.
Yeah, it's all the same. But yeah. So if you've made it this far,
thanks.
Yeah, apologies. well, yeah, we're gonna be doing more episodes. Everything's coming out. We're putting stuff in the bank, and we're gonna be getting stuff set up here. So there's all that. I think that's words that are working. I need to find like a happy medium, because if I record too early in the morning, I'm not like, I'm a little too jittery. And if I'm in the evening, it's a little too spacey.
It's too sloppy. It's too sloppy out here.
Yeah. I gotta find a happy medium, but I think people enjoy it. If not, why are you still listening?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
100%. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So Ryan, any parting words before we turn off for the evening?
Have your pet spayed or neutered, everybody. Mm-hmm.
Have a good night. Have a good evening, wherever you are, whatever time it is there. Thank you so much for listening. Be safe out there. And then I hit the stop button.